Go ahead and take out your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 25. You can probably know by just hearing the title, it's a pretty odd lesson you're going to get tonight. I thought about calling it something different, but that's simply what it is. The devil loves you. It's not a type of love that you would want, though. It's a love that he has because maybe at times we share the same characteristics. I probably should have called it, "The Devil Loves His Own." But in looking through, I wanted us to consider that maybe it's us too. We're going to start tonight, and tonight's going to be more of a study than maybe more than a preaching. We're going to turn several times to pick up some things as we go through. But I want you to notice the whole purpose of eternal fire as to why it even exists. Because there are times where someone may think back and go, why in the world would God make a place that's made for eternal fire, for condemnation? And it's not until you read Matthew 25, 41 that you really get the answer. In Matthew 25, just looking at verse 41, now this is in the middle of an allegory that Jesus shares. Says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. The whole purpose of having an eternal fire was so that the devil and his messengers, his angels, would have a place for eternity. That's why it exists. But yet in this one verse, it also states, what about those people who are accursed? That'll be their dwelling as well. And so you start to look and wonder, well, how in the world does that mean that the devil would love his own? Or that he might love us? And the idea is, he desires people to be the same as him. He desires destruction for every human being. We're going to look at a couple of characteristics that you find in the devil himself. And then see, is that any part of us? Let's look over at Luke chapter 6 and maybe see a little bit more here. I want you to see that there is a type of love that has no imitation of God in it. It's a love that is devilish, if you want to consider it that way. It sets a limit that's way too low. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Jesus here, in talking to the crowds here, he says, you know what? There are people that love the people that love them back. He says, even sinners do that. So it's not any great thing that we do when we love people who love us. Then verse 33. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Well, what if you say, you know what, I'm just going to do good to those people who do good to me first. Do you notice the way that the question gets phrased in both of these cases? What's the credit? What's the benefit? There's nothing outstanding here. I mean, it kind of reminds you in a sense of saying, you know what, if you're 18 years old and you know the alphabet, what credit is that? Is anybody going to pat you on the back and talk about how great you are? Boy, you can say it. Boy, you really got it down. You can even sing the song. There's nothing great about it. There's no credit going to be given. And in the same way, as Jesus talks here, if you love those who already love you, sinners do that. If you do good to people who've done good to you, sinners do that. Then comes verse 34. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Bankers don't get a first-rate shot because, hey, they lend money to all kinds of people. Great. But there's no credit for it. He says, you know what? If you're going to give money to people and expect them to pay you back for it, God's not saying, oh, I'm impressed. That shows a lot of sacrifice. See, that's a type of love that only God has, that only God shows. And we only show it when we imitate Him. So you start to take note. You can love and not be imitating God. We can love and still be imitating a different father. Now let's take a little bit more and look at this maybe another level down. Look over at the Gospel of John. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look down at verse 43. Maybe we should back up to verse 31. Make sure we get the context here. I want you to see who Jesus is talking to in this conversation. If we just read starting where I mentioned, we might miss this idea. John chapter 8, look at verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. Now notice, he's talking to those who were putting faith in him. You'll see why that seems odd here in a minute. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. He says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my teachings, then you are my disciples. Verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You continue in my word, I know you're disciples of mine, and you will know the truth. And that truth is going to set you free in a way you've never been free before. It's still the same people that he's talking to when he comes down to verse 41. Then, notice how it continues here. He says, you are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. He says, our parents were married. Don't tell us that we're children of Satan. He says, hey, that's not us. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. He says, if you were really God's children, you would have a strong affection for me. You would even sacrifice for me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. He says, I'm not here because of my plan. I'm here because of my Father's initiative. Then verse 43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? That's quite a big question. Sometimes as teachers, people ask, how come you don't understand what I'm saying? I go, maybe I just said it wrong. Maybe I got the wrong words here, something like that. But notice here's Jesus, the master teacher. He says, why do you not get it? Why do you not understand these words? He says, you're people who believe. Why do you not understand? And then he really gets to it, verse 43, as it continues. It is because you cannot hear my word. You cannot do it. You might think, well, they're there listening to him. What do you mean he can't hear his word? He's not talking about the audible tones aren't coming into their eardrum. Look at the next verse, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. That's what keeps them from hearing. I don't know about you, but the first time I noticed that he was talking to people of faith in verse 31 and then saw what he says about them in verse 44, I thought, boy, I better not be somebody who just sits back and says, hey, I got faith in God, I'll be fine. You are of your father, the devil. It's almost as if say, the children are like their parents. He says, and you want to do the desires of your father. Well, what are the desires of the devil? What does he really want? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He desires to take life away. That's what a murderer does, right? They destroy, they take life. Notice Jesus continues as he makes a statement. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. In Jesus is where you find truth. In the devil, there's no truth even there. And he longs to murder. Consider the story with man and woman in the garden. He comes forth. They're not going to eat of this tree. They've heard, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Okay. One day they're looking at it, and here comes the tempter. He says, you know when you eat of that, you won't die. No truth in him. He says, let me blur those lines a little bit. Let me change the way you're thinking. And he did. And he killed him. He brought him over. But maybe that's not the murder that it's talking about here. It doesn't go on to tell you about it. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You ever been around somebody who you already know the truth, but it seems like everything they say is a lie, and you go, why are you even telling lies like that? It doesn't even hardly make sense. Like, why even bother? And yet it continues to come over and over and over again. And you stop and realize, I know who your father is. Because you're just like him. He says, well, whenever he speaks a lie, he just speaks from his own nature. That's the way he is. Boy, what a description. That's just the way he is. Then, it says he is a liar and he's the father of lies. So, if people are liars, who are they related to? It's not God. Here, it's the devil. Verse 45, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. He says, because of who your father is, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't take it in. And these are people who are Jews who had believed Jesus. Whoa. Then, verse 46. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? Because you don't care about truth. Satan never has. The devil never has. He's no concern. He says, you know what? I know where I'm headed. I'm headed to eternal fire, and I want everybody to come with me that's going to come. I want everybody to come with me. And I love people who are just like me. I love people who are murderers. I love people who are liars. I love people who don't care about truth and want to blur the lines. Those are my people, and I love them. Not a sacrificial love. Not a love that says, I care about you. It's a love that's self-centered at its height. It's like popularity. I don't care what you like as long as you like me. Let's take a look at another thought here. So we see where he's headed. We see his characteristics. What happens if we adopt these characteristics? Look over at Revelation 21. Revelation 21 is an amazing chapter. It has to deal with this holy city that comes down out of heaven. But I want you to notice who is not allowed in. Revelation 21, look at verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The end of the verse sounds a whole lot like the idea of eternal fire, doesn't it? And if you notice through the characteristics that are given, who do they sound a whole lot like? Now, we know a couple of them very specifically just from what we've read tonight. We know that the devil's a murderer. We know that the devil is a liar. You start to look through here and he says, so what if we start to follow the characteristics of the devil? We say, well, why would anybody do that? If we're the murderers, if we're the liars, our destiny will be the same as his. You might think, why are we going here? What's our purpose? Does it ever seem like we get too relaxed on the idea it's all right to lie? Do we ever get too relaxed on the idea of you don't have to tell the whole truth? Maybe we don't realize liars, murderers, following in the nature, in the character of the devil. There shouldn't be deception, lying, any of those things named among us in Jesus. You think about deceit. Now we're not going to look at this one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15, it gives you a little synopsis. It says about the devil, he is so deceptive. He even goes around, he adorns himself like an angel of light. He disguises himself. So now you start looking at three characteristics: a murderer, a liar, and deceitful. If that's us, we're bound to end up where he's going to end up. We can't be a people who take these things lightly and say, it's okay, it's fine. Because if that's the idea, maybe the real trouble is there's no truth in us. Because Jesus wouldn't say that. God wouldn't say that. Let's take a look at a few more. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. We'll spend the rest of our time here. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 7. First John 3, verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Now, who does a lot of deceiving? That's what the devil does. He says, make sure you're not deceived. He says, the one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, he being God. Wow. We practice righteousness, we're as righteous as God. Now, we sit back for a moment and go, how in the world can that be? But I want you to think about the passage that's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We can really be made that righteous. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. But you take note here. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. I want to point out a difference. Practices is the idea of continual doing the same. This is not the picture of, you know what, I sinned, I had an error, and I ask God to forgive me. No, this is practicing of sin. Of knowing that it's wrong, continuing to do it, and caring nothing about it. He says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. He says, you can go back as far as you can learn. It's there. Same with murder, same with lying. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. God's purpose in His Son was to completely annihilate this stuff. If we start to live it, then who does God stand against now? Us. Look at the next verse. Here's verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin. Notice it's the practices again. Because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He cannot practice sin and claim to be God's. Maybe it's another time where we've become a little too relaxed with saying, you know, I know it's not right, but it'll work out fine. If sharing eternity with the devil and his angels is fine, I don't want to be fine. Notice how it continues, verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. He says it's blatantly clear. Murderers, liars, deceitful people, they are not children of God. If that's the practice. They're children of the devil. It doesn't mean they walk around in red suits, carrying around pitchforks and things like that. But it's obvious. Then, skip down a little ways. Well, notice how it continues on. Verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He says, this is what we've been speaking ever since we started. There should be a love for one another. Now, notice the example he gives first, verse 12. Not as Cain. Don't love like Cain loved. Cain was a murderer. You know who his father was? The devil. He was under his influence. It says, who was of the evil one and slew his brother? And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. He says, if there's any doubt on these things, just look back and see it. Then, skip down now. Look at verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. All of a sudden, we realize that we can kill people too. And it doesn't take a gun or a knife or a noose. What if we just don't love our brother? It says you're a murderer. A murderer? That's what it says. Everyone, notice, not room for any exceptions there. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You know that there's no way eternal life is there because they're being like their father, and that's not God. Verse 16, here's the turn. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here is what being children of God is like. There is a love for your brother. There is a laying down of our life for God. Laying down our life for each other. A people who love the truth. A people who will come straight forward, not being deceptive. A people who want to provide life and not death. And you see these polar opposites. And yet here's the devil who loves people who are just like him. And that's why Jesus said, even sinners love people who love them. Even sinners, hey, they'll help somebody who helped them. Even sinners will lend money as long as they get paid back for it. Imitating God is not like that. Imitating God is a love that says, I will love you even if you don't love me. I will help you even if you have never helped me. I will lend to you and you don't have to pay me back a cent. Now we're getting to God the Father. The other is just Satan and being like him. So as you look through what's going on here, we need to examine ourselves and say, which type of love are we more like? When somebody makes us angry and upset, are we like Cain? Well, might as well just kill him. If a brother does something, we say, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I'll just hate him. It's fine. Become a murderer. So as you start to look through and see, who are we really imitating? If we're standing on the same ground as the tempter, eternity will be the same. If we're standing on the same ground with God, our eternity will be with Him. And it has everything to do with the morality that we keep and the faith that we put in God in trying to imitate Him. And not being people who are okay with, well, lying's no big deal. You know, if you hate some people and just can't get over it, that's fine too. Oh, well, you know, if you have to deceive a little bit to get what you want, that's okay. That kind of thinking will kill you if it hadn't already. So let's just consider ourselves. Make sure we're not people who are deceived into thinking we have eternal life when really all we have is eternal death. This isn't a lesson to scare people. It's just to get us to realize the seriousness of sin and the seriousness of who are we imitating. So consider that in your everyday life. Whose house are you from? The house of God? Eternal life? Truth? The house of Satan? Deceptive? Liars? Killers? Which one are we? If we fail, here's Jesus to wash away all that sin. And we move forward from this point. But the ones who practice these things, they're the ones who are deceived.